Hey Rob, how's it going?
Hi, Doug.
How's your week?
Oh, it's just crazy, man. It's so busy. I mean, where does the time go? I can't believe it's a week since we had the last office hours.
I know. Sometimes the
Fun.
only, I think, like, the only way I would know that the weeks are going fast is that I feel like the office hours happen every day.
Oh, it's the 1st of March. I mean, how the heck did that happen?
I know, I was telling myself, okay, I've got these three courses that I want to get done. I'll give myself the first quarter of the year to do it. It's like, I only have 1 month left.
Yeah, it's insane. Insane. It really is. Yeah, I'm gonna bump my prices up again on my calls because I was interesting actually. I was watching a video. I'll tell you what I was doing, some homework on memberships, and I was just searching the ether and came across some posts and related videos, but the posts were good on Paid Memberships Pro's website. I'm not interested in their product, but their content's really good actually. It's very kind of, I don't know, it fits me really well. It's not trying to push their product. It's kind of platform neutral. It's all about, it's the kind of the things I always go on about. It's the strategy of the stuff. It's the kind of tactical building to a bigger picture, this kind of thing. So I've been finding their blog posts on topics really useful actually. And so I've watched a couple of their kind of AMAs and this kind of things. And some of these like run for an hour or an hour and a half. And there's been some really good stuff in there actually. I'm gonna lose my train of thought. Yeah, they've had some really good stuff on the structure and the sort of the pricing models. So I've been kind of like paying close attention to that. So I've been learning quite a bit from those and taking some notes. But yeah, I've been quite impressed with their content actually. And they've got quite a lot of like on their YouTube channel, they've got a lot of short form videos, like 2 or 3 minutes. And then at the end, there's a kind of constant sales pitch for the product. But that's, it's kind of right at the very end and it's not a big deal. But really kind of specific points of detail, which is what I'm starting to do with my YouTube channel. And I thought, yeah, this is good stuff actually.
Nice. And you mentioned you're raising your prices. Is that just because you're getting so busy with the calls and
Oh, yeah,
stuff?
that was it actually. Yeah, I sort of watched one of their videos and they were just saying some stuff that I was just thinking, yeah, actually, what things just don't occur to you sometimes. They were just sort of saying things like, if you've had people buy and not, I had somebody book a call. I think you might remember it was like December last year. They were going in 4 days or something insane,
Yeah.
and they booked a call and they never even, they bought a call but they never booked it basically. So they just disappeared, never asked for a refund or anything. And then other people, and again, since the start of the year, I've had a lot of calls being booked. It's probably been my busiest time ever actually for calls again. So, and one of the things this webinar was saying, the guy, and it was talking about pricing and reviewing your pricing and constantly keeping on top of this stuff because it's easy to lose sight of it. And he was saying, like, if you've had people book your services and never actually use them, that might be a price. It might be a sign that your price is, could be higher because it's just clearly, they've spent the money and not got any value out of it, and they just aren't bothered. So I thought, well, yeah, that's a good point. And then the other one was about, if you're getting a lot of bookings, and there's no resistance, maybe it's time to just bump your prices again. And I was just thinking, well, it's really busy for me again, and I'm thinking every time I've done it, I've never seen a downturn. So I'm not going to do a lot because mine's £89, so it's over the $100 price for 30 minutes. But I'm going to nudge it a bit to just below the £100 point, so it looks kind of just visually attractive. But I'm going to do that and just see how that goes, and then I'll leave it a few months, and I might even bump it up again towards the latter half of the year. But what I have already done, and I think we chatted on this maybe at last week's office hours, but what I have already done, and partly prompted by that same video, is I was saying about I do these extra, if you want to book me for a half a day or 2 or 3 days, I've just put those up another 20% because, I mean, they're not public, but if anyone wants them, and I've got a whole batch of these calls coming up, and they all get my kind of follow-up message and footer that says, if you want to book some extra time for me, if you want to book some of my extra time, just let me get on with it. Here's my pricing, and I'll be very interested to see if any of them take it and go for that bumped price.
So when you say to somebody, book me for half a day, I'm trying to make sure I understand this. You're not space. Are you saying that you will give them 4 hours of time if your workday is an 8 hour workday? Are you giving them that much time? You're billing for the equivalent of 4 hours. So you're almost 200 pounds. Is that what it, or 160 pounds or something, 200
I can't
pounds per
remember.
hour?
Yeah, I don't. I literally, I just put a pr I come up with a, originally, I just came up with a price. It does go back a way, actually, to when I was doing some B2B stuff when I started, and I had to come up with a day rate, basically, especially with working with the Japanese market, just the way their brain works and stuff. So that was what originally started all of this. And I just thought, okay, well, I need to kind of, not halve it, but I need to drop it a lot because this is B2C and not B2B. And so that's why I started, that's how I started it originally. But I never really, back then, because I was so frankly desperate for business, I never equated it to hours. I just thought, well, I'm just going to put a price out there that I'd be happy with. And if I spent half a day working on that, I'd be happy with that money kind of thing. So that's how it's all originated. So what I haven't done, I haven't even done it recently. I haven't even correlated it to my pricing for my half hour calls because it's definitely below that. But the point is, I just approach it differently. I mean, I know I'm kind of starting this call, but I'm saying, where's all the time
I'm
going?
trying to
So
understand.
I can't see there's a correlation
I'm like,
here.
so is this an $800 half day package? And if you're like, no, I sell it for 200, I'm gonna be like, you're busy.
Exactly. No, but it's the thing is, if because I'm what I'm doing with these calls, I used to do these full travel planning services, and the cost of those was just under £600. So I don't even what I I'm not sure what that is, but it's like a what's that seven something dollars.
Something like that.
But what would happen is when I handed this over to them with, here's your plan, here's some services and all the rest of it. Basically, what would happen would they go away and book all their stuff, and it would more than double the revenue, the cost of that plan. So me putting the time in, that's why I don't equate it to man hours, because it's not, I'm not trading hours here for dollars, because I'm putting in front of clients who are already bought in clients just the opportunity to spend more money by using my links, and they all do. So for me, it's not as simple. I mean, this is just the way I look at it. People may think this is not the right way to look at it, but I don't look at it as I'm doing X hours work for X hours pay, because I really don't see it that way at all. Because this is me. This is time investing, because it's at least going to double my what my rate that I'm charging. I mean, that's typically what happens. That's why I'm happy to spend that time. The other thing that occurred to me, and I've started to do this, is it's creating stuff for the flywheel, because it creates video content. Like the calls are creating content now, and I've got some okay to use some clips, and I've uploaded the first of those clips. Plus, the transcripts of these conversations that I'm having are forming the basis of blog posts. So
Oh,
I'm
that's
getting,
good.
this is becoming flywheel content, both at the top of the funnel on YouTube. It's blog posts, which are bread and butter for me in terms of affiliate revenue. So this is, and I'm then getting the back end when they book all the stuff. So for me, it's kind of like, this is actually really well time well spent, because although the client's getting their great servicing, I'm getting all these extra added benefits, and one of them is money within, typically within 6 months, typically like a quarter. But then there's all these other opportunities which themselves lead to more money. So for me, I look at it that way. I just think that's just a good use of my time, because it's so broad in terms of its revenue generating, and it's not just potential, because I know it just. I know we've got the stats. It just regularly does, just doing those, handing over those, here's some travel plans for you, especially if I'm doing the extra stuff when it's like you book me for a half day or a day or 2 days or whatever.
As long as you're getting like, as long as you're feeling like it's tangible, for me, the biggest problem is that when people want to book me for my time, like lately, not lately, but the entirety of the time I've been doing this, people are pretty like specific about wanting to make sure they get every minute they pay for. This is my experience. So like when I do calls with people, you know, people are very like, they want to use every minute, which is totally their prerogative. But then when people book me on a project, and I'm same like you've encountered people that they just think this way, they want everything at an hourly rate. So if someone says, well, what would this project cost? I give them a price, and they're like, okay, so is that your hourly rate at, you know, blah blah blah? I'm like, I don't want to think about it that way, because I want to think about value-based pricing and project-based pricing, but everyone seems to always go back to the hourly rate. So
Yeah, that's a good point.
I would want to, you know, if I really like this idea, because part of me thinks there's a lot of people out there that would love to like book a half day with me, you know, like really pick my brain. But then I would logically have to say, because the big thing for me is opportunity cost. If I'm going to spend 4 hours with somebody, theoretically, if we think about it hourly, that's 4 hours that I can't book calls for. So that's what's the opportunity cost? $800 of booked hours. Or I could use that time recording new videos or new courses. I could use that time serving the community or telling people about a product and make an affiliate sale. So I have to kind of wrap all those things up. And so for me, it really comes down to the opportunity cost of it. If I'm, it's
And
expensive.
hearing just hearing you say back to me what we would what this kind of approach, it's for me, it instantly feels different in your space because, you know, it's technical. And I think, you know, I just think that whole approach from the client's perspective is completely different because of the different markets. You know, I think your audience and your clients are going to think that way because that's where everything is priced in that sector, you know, projects and
That's how they
hours-based.
bill people. That's how they bill people.
Yeah, totally. Whereas me, it's all aspirational. It's all about just making it easier for them to get to their goal. And so the really good example was that one I had a couple of weeks back where a guy had booked two calls, and he did the first one, and I sent him some stuff over, and then maybe we might have had like a email exchange, like an extra email exchange. I answered a few questions, but then he came back and he said, "Actually, Rob, I don't think I'm going to need the second call." But and then he saw my, you know, my footer in my, "Here's your thing, here's your notes, you can book me extra." And he said, "But actually, I don't think I need the second call. But I could, you know, if you could spend a couple of days just really going into this stuff, because what I do is when I send it to them, I can send you it sort of privately, but it kind of it says, you know, if you want me dot, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's, or, you know, depending on where they are in the conversation, because some of them are like haven't got anything organized and some are well organized, you know, it's sometimes I might say, you know, if you want me to suggest specific restaurants for the cities you're in or hotels, because sometimes they don't even have any hotels or anything. So it's like, if you want me to shortlist, you know, three of the best hotels in each of your cities, you know, and some, you know, and if they're with children, I can say that are kid friendly, that have got laundry facilities. See, I've got all this in a database, this kind of level of detail.
Nice.
Really, you know, that's, you know, it's like, it's going to take them forever to find that stuff. So that's really high value for them. And they were just saying, actually, yeah, I'll just hand that over. And he said, so I said, I'll spend half an hour. He said, if you don't want to book the call, I'll spend an extra half an hour on whatever it was we were discussing on the first call, and I'll polish that up for you. And I'll spend, you know, if you want me to do those couple of days, I can do the couple of days on the detail that we were chatting through. And he said, yeah, if you could flesh that stuff out. So, and of course, I'm putting all extra stuff in there, which is going to earn when they book it. And you know, some of that is quite chunky, especially if they're booking accommodation.
I mean, this is kind of.
Oh, sorry. The other thing that occurred to me when you said your thing, Doug, was the other thing is, I mean, I know yours has shifted a lot in the last year or 6 months or so, but the affiliate revenue thing, for me now, that's all, that is my biggest earner.
It's
And
for me
I'm
too,
quite,
still.
oh, it is. Oh, okay, fair enough. But I'm quite conscious that I hear your days of, four or five even back-to-back calls in a single day. I just really don't want to go there.
I don't
And
either.
so for me, if I'm doing, I've got a day coming up in a couple of weeks' time where I've got two calls in a day, and I'm thinking, oh, that's unusual. That's unusual for me. I've got two in a day, sort of thing. But that's kind of max for me. That's I don't want to do any more than that. But I know that all these calls are going to kind of produce all this extra other content. So I like doing them, but I really want to manage them because, they spin off stuff. But if I do too many, then it's almost the opposite of your situation.
I've reduced my calendar of availability somewhat out of necessity, but another part just because I don't want to do as many calls. So I've made very narrow windows of time that people can book with me. And I have found that that has drastically reduced the number of bookings that I've received because times just don't work out for people. I've tried to give myself a couple, like a morning hour or two and an afternoon hour or two per day. That way, if there's like someone in Europe or someone in the States, they can just book the time. It's worked pretty well. I still get bookings, but now I'm only getting a few fewer. I would say I've cut my bookings down by 75%, which is I maybe I pulled the lever too hard after that 2 weeks of just nonstop calls, but honestly, what it's done is it's freed up my mind to think more. Because I have found that one thing that works for me is just having time to think, like just sit and think at my computer. I've been able to draft up complete outlines for the two courses that I've been procrastinating. Those are ready to record. I've been able to record a couple, like I'm ahead on my YouTube schedule now. Like I've got the next 2 weeks of videos already recorded, one a week, but that's big for me. I used to always be playing catch up. And it got me thinking that I really like the concept of the asynchronous coaching. Now that's what the community is. The community is asynchronous, right? You ask a question, I get to it when I can, I give you the answer. But there are some people that want just more, a little bit more, like more focused on their project. And so part of me is thinking, this whole concept of like, I'm going to share my screen for a second. The tool that Gary was really pushing this tool on the office hour call that we had not too long ago.
I had a look.
The Clarity Flow tool, and I had looked at it too, and I was thinking about taking another look at it because I was thinking if someone were to say, "Hey, Doug, can I, pick your brain for the day?" I could say to them, "Yeah, I'm yours for the day. Send me messages," and they can send them in, and I can reply by voice, or I could record a quick Loom video, and it gets kept in this very private one-to-one coaching type fun conversational thread. And then I was thinking about other ways to use it, like when you onboard an asynchronous client, you can have pre-recorded things ready to go for how to use it. You could give them pre-recorded materials. Like in your case, you have your database. You could say, when you become one of my asynchronous clients, I give you access to my database, and here's my five videos to watch. And then you as the owner can do group coaching, or you can have your own conversations so that when you're in the platform, let's say I'm coaching five people asynchronously on the same day, I jump in here and I talk to Mandy, I jump in here and I talk to Bill, I jump in here and I talk to Allie. I can click into each of these conversations and I can start talking to different people. I wouldn't take payments necessarily, but I could take payments through this platform. I really am starting to think like if I'm really wanting to push this idea of asynchronous coaching, because it just seems to fit with my style and with the style of other people more. Like instead of having to hop on one call for 1 hour and don't and get and have to make sure you cover everything in that hour, what if I said to people, "I'm yours anytime you want to ask me a question, for any time, you just post into here, and it's not $199 an hour, it's $60, $70 for the month."
Actually, you're
And
saying that. Yeah, that reminds me. You remember, I think it was privately, but I was asking you about other ways to kind of get access to you, and that was all asynchronous, actually, I think, in my head. So I definitely think for you, there's probably a solution here worth, if not pursuing, certainly thinking through and ruling it in or out. Because I think you're right. I think it would suit the way you would choose to work, and it suits the mar your market. For me, it's almost the opposite. People just they need that half an hour call and they're totally concentrated. And for example, I might say to them, if you've worked on your itinerary in the meantime, just send that over ahead of the call so I can have a look at it, an hour before the call or something, just so that I'm up to speed on that. So it's all very, very concentrated. But then the kind of the handoff bit is, they love the experience of the call. And then I say to them, if you wanted me to, go into more detail on XYZ for you, we didn't, we covered as much as we could on the call, but if you want me to go into more depths on, whatever it is you're interested in, and you wanna, want me to spend, and it's not you're booking me for, it's, you want me to spend half a day on this for you, I'll do that. And here's the price for that. And that feels very, very different to what it would, how it would work for you. Because I think they're almost like polar opposites. The client base, the way they're coming to the conversation. But for you, if you could work it on the whole asynchronous thing, I think could work a treat. Because especially with your current setup with your little one and so on, if it's like, and this is why I say it's like, book me for half a day, one day, 2 days, or whatever. And it doesn't mean I'm sitting down tomorrow and I'm spending 8 hours working on your thing. It means within, an agreed time frame. Because I say to them, like, I've got a bunch of clients on at the moment, and I've got, I'm working on some stuff for some clients that are traveling in January next year. And I'm saying to them, look, I've got other clients, they're going in a month. I'm going to do your stuff, but it's not going to be at the front of the queue. In the best possible way, I'm saying to them, look, you'll get your notes, but this other person's going to get their notes first because they were ahead of the queue and they're traveling before you, etc. So I think for you, it could work really well, actually. I just think it seems to me that it would, if you set a, if you manage manage expectations in terms of turnaround, get it away from that usual project and, day hour rate and that kind of day rate kind of conversation. And it's basically, look, you want me to get you to an outcome or answer a few questions or whatever it is, and provided I get back to you in X time frame, then you can slot those into your working and living day, or days. Because if you say to them, like I had a call today, Friday, so it was Thursday, yesterday, sorry, yesterday. And I said, yeah, end of the week. I normally I'll get notes back to you within 24 hours, but it's going to probably be at the start of next week. Not even saying it's going to be Monday. And yeah, that's absolutely fine. They're cool with that. And I think if it's that kind of engagement, it might not be the same for your audience, but if it's that kind of engagement and you manage expectations up front, then you can say, if you want me to work 8 hours a day on this or whatever, however you choose to phrase it, and within 5 days I'll get back to you with XYZ. The idea, because what they love, what my clients love, is they're really struggling, and it's like, oh, just give it a Rob, and he's going to come back in X days, which suits me fine, and he's going to have all the detail.
Yeah, that's I was thinking about this concept of like a of this clarity flow thing. It's irrelevant what tool it is, but I was conceptually thinking about this when you said you were talking to your client saying, "Yeah, just give me the next week and I'll spend half hour over the next week putting something together for you." What I really liked about this idea of having a flowed conversation with somebody is that they get to keep that forever, right? Like they have a record. They have a single place they can come back to and be like, "What was that video Rob recorded for me? What was that PDF he shared? And where's the link to that spreadsheet?" It's collated nicely in this conversation thread that they get to keep as a coaching client of yours or whatever. And with me, it's a similar concept, right? Someone comes on. Maybe I do charge a week rate, and I say for you can book me for the week, where during this 7 day period. Send me any questions you want. I typically have a turnaround time of a couple hours. Ask me how to do this. Ask me what I think about this. I'll record a quick video for you, that type of thing. And then someone has access to that forever. Or if, or I could come up with, I could say, I understand that when you work with me, when you're working on a project, 1 hour might feel stressful. So instead of $199 for an hour, $199 for a week, where I'll just reply to you asynchronously the whole week, and knowing full well that I won't combined fill more than an hour of my time in that week. And then I can say, you can book me for $199 a week, or you can book me for some number a month, and that can be a subscription. So not only could I sell the one-off 199 week with the person, I could sell the, let's just say, $300 a month. Or you know, where now they're getting me anytime they want asynchronously for as long as they want to pay that subscription, and I'm just working for them as they need me, like a drip.
I mean, that sounds really attractive to me. But the question I would have is how much would that scale? I mean, okay, you're managing your calls, so that's not going to take up too much, time slots in your working week. But it could be tremendously popular. But I think it's interesting to hear you say it out loud because, it's like here's 199 an hour or 199 a week, and I'll be available. See, in my head, I'm instantly not equating that to hours. I'm just equating that to having access to Doug, which to me sounds even more valuable. So it doesn't matter. I'm not thinking I'm going to sit down and expect Doug to give me an hour of his time. I don't even think that. I'm just thinking, I'm working on a project this week. I'm going to be uber busy on this. I'm going to be intense on this. Normally, I'm going to have to book Doug a week ahead or a couple of weeks ahead, or I might pop on an office hours and grab a bit there. That's quite limiting. If I know that I can get you at numerous times, and you might have to factor, you might have to build some limitations around it. But if I know I can get you numerous times on the week that I'm intensively working on my project, and I know you're going to kind of be at the end of the line kind of thing, asynchronously, I think that's great. That's a great value proposition. I mean, I'm instantly thinking that's a completely, in my head, that's a completely different value proposition from you to me than £199 for an hour.
So that's
£199.
exactly what I was thinking. And in fact, now that I'm hearing you talk about it and I'm saying it out loud, I really like the idea of $199, or just round up and say $200 for the month. And say not a week. You get me for the
That's the
month.
thing. I think because it sounds like a fantastic value proposition. I reckon you get a lot of takers on that, and actually you wouldn't have, I don't know, but I don't think you'd have the volume that you might think you might have. It's kind of what I'm doing a bit, but it's stretching out that intensity over a longer periods of times, and I bet you won't have as much intensity.
So if 10 people signed up for it, what is that? $2,000? And so put it this way, if I had 10 people sign up for this program, that's $2,000, which is good. But if I think about it, the other way. If those 10 people booked calls with me, I would have a dreadful week. Like I would not like having to sit here for 10 calls, but I would have no problem serving 10 people asking me questions asynchronously. I could do it on my phone while I'm watching my kid. I could do it while I'm on a walk. I could record a little audio. I could say, hey, Rob, to your question, here's the answer, send. And it pops it right into that conversation flow of the answer. It's instantaneous. I could probably serve, being honest, I could probably serve 20 people, no problem doing that model. What is that, $4,000?
Yeah, that's great.
That's
I
good
think there's
money.
definitely something for you there.
And
That wouldn't work for me. Wouldn't work for me, but it would work, I think it would work for you for sure.
Well, it's, I was thinking you could, if I'll just say from my perspective, if I was planning a trip to Japan and you had a package where you could say, ask me questions anytime you want for the month, I'd pay you $200 so that I could have you on the other end of the line. If I'm working on my itinerary and I had a few minutes that today to work on it between things, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I hadn't thought about accommodations for when I go to Kyoto or whatever. Hey, Rob, do you have any ideas on this? I was thinking about this, but I'm concerned the hotel's too far away from the blah, blah, blah. And you could just reply to me, and I'm like, that would be awesome, because then I didn't have to lump all my questions into a call. I could just ask them as I had them. And then I had a running list of things, and then you could be like, yeah, in fact, I have a whole blog post on that. Here's a link to it. You just drop it right into the conversation and it populates nicely. And then I've got this forever thing. Oh, that would be.
Yeah, no, I could see that working actually. I could definitely see a because the other thing that I was trying to I started to think a little bit along those lines when it was coming to what benefits are in my membership structure that
Yeah.
I'm building. Because I'm thinking if one of the things is you're kind of just getting more access to me, because I get a lot of stuff by like you do, by private email.
All
And
the
I say
time.
to them, look, I'm maxed out at the moment. Go to the private Facebook group if you're on Facebook, if you're not already in there, because it's a good chance somebody else can answer it before I can. Go to a blog post and I say to them quite transparently, look, if you put a question there, I'm going to be answering dozens and dozens of people who are going to be reading this every week. So it's just, I don't mind spending the time doing it there or just book a call. But if I was doing it in a community context, and if you were paying an ongoing subscription, and part of that was you had access to me in some sort of basic, and whether it's just in the community, it's just privately, and I'm messaging them in there, or whether it's on a platform like this platform, I don't like the idea of going to another platform and building that into it.
See, that's
That's
what's.
me, but
No,
for
I'm
you, I
completely
think it
with
works
you.
better again. But.
It could work better for me, but here's my question to you then. Like, if I would charge $199 a month to have that asynchronous access, I'm only charging $180 a quarter for All Access Pass at Convology, and they could ask those same types of questions in the community, and I'd get back to them.
It
But it
just
doesn't.
won't. I just don't think it'll occur to people. I just don't think they'll think about it the same way. I
And I
really
could
don't.
also. I'm just trying to think of the value proposition. Like the community is more the DIY. The coaching is more the, was it done with you, DWY? So this is like a done with you solution support. Like it is different. And I guess the difference here is that it's a, I'm really trying to make sure I iron out the value proposition because in my mind I'm thinking there's the community aspect, but that's public. Well, not public, but it's community. And there you could ask the questions anytime you want, and I'm honestly I would have the same response time. I don't want to guarantee response time. So it's like if you want personalized coaching, I guess what it comes down to is personalized coaching versus community-based answering your questions. And the community is more than just asking questions. Like I ultimately want the Convology community to just become a place where we all can talk, we can all ask questions, we can all share. That's the mastermind. So they are different, I guess. And I guess if I'm working, if I'm
I think
the
they
coaching
are.
could be B2B, just like it is B2C, but it's B2B in a way. We're all businesses. So as long as you don't think conceptually there's too much overlap.
Well, personally, I don't know because I just, and I don't think it's just my view on this because I'm just trying to watch behavior that I see. I just think people just don't think of it that way. I don't think in their mind, because I think we think about it. I mean, I know your audience is a bit more kind of, should we say, informed than mine, but because we think about how we slice this stuff up and how we pitch it and how we market it. But I think generally, at the end of the day, when we've got a problem we want solving, and that may be, it's ongoing tech issues generally, or it's like something really pressing because I'm working on a project. I think we view those things very differently depending on the context. If it's just, I've got access to Doug, well, it goes back to the kind of thing that I messaged you about. Is there a way that I can pay you extra to get access to you, kind of? And it's literally that.
It would
And
be that.
I couldn't quite see the model, but I knew there was something there that I thought might be of value to both. So I think it's all down to the context. And I think even the ones who are tuned in, like your audience is tuned in to a greater degree than the average public or different marketplace, I just think they just see the value exchange for what it is at that point. It's that 199 price point again, whether it's an hour or it's a month. It's
That's what I
just a
could,
different proposition.
and I think that's how I'd keep it. I would keep it and say, look, you can book me for an hour, $199 an hour, and we'll jump on a call together, and you've got me at my undivided attention for an hour. But that's why I charge $199 for that hour. It's on my undivided attention. We've got a scheduled time on the calendar. I can do nothing else in that hour. Or you can have me, I'm yours for the month, asynchronously, ask as many questions as you want, and I will, throughout the day, every day, get back to you. That seems super valuable to me. Like, I would, if I were in, and there's going to be the people that will sign up for 1 month. There's going to be the people that sign up for a month but use me for a couple days. And there's going to be the people that sign up for a month and they're there the whole month. And then there's going to be the people that just keep on paying because they want to ask me a couple questions a month. So I think there's going to be a good spread on that.
I think you're right. I think that's a good observation, actually. I think the spread, it will be, the usage will be spread out, evened out, put it that way. I don't, I think you'll get a good mix of it, I think. Because if something's intensive, they'll just book a tech call,
That's
and
right.
they'll want to get an answer quickly, and they want to move on to the next job,
And I think the nice thing about that also is that that allows me to, it's going to allow me to do a couple things. It's going to allow me to not feel bad about narrowing my hours of availability for booked calls because I can say, hey, look, it's undivided. I can book you when I can book you. It's also going to allow me to raise my rates and feel more comfortable doing that by saying my hourly calls are now 225, but my asynchronous is 199 for the month. And that's actually a really good thing because the 199 a month is something that I have historically charged clients that I work with. That's a very, very common number for me. Like when I bring on a client, I build their website, I manage most of their funnels, and they say to me, Doug, what does it cost to have you available to help me? If a question comes up, I always tell them my program is $199 a month. It includes, I'll host your website for you. I'll make sure if you have any questions, if something doesn't work, I'll hop in there. I'm your guy for $199 a month. And I've got 10 of those people at any given time through Conviology. At any given time or more, actually, I'm probably more than that now. But and that seems to be fine for them. And the vast majority of those people are paying $199 a month and they're never utilizing me. So that's been a
Yeah, I
great
mean, I
cash
could
cow.
definitely see that I could introduce a kind of asynchronous service like that, a subscription thing. It might be overkill to do it as a standalone service. It could be something which just is better facilitated through the membership platform, maybe a version of that or an add-on to the, like your subscription or
I'm
something.
thinking an upsell to your calls even. So like
Yeah, no, that's what that was my immediate
if
thought.
you sell a call, like a half hour call or an hour call, you could have an order bump or an upsell and say, in addition to this hour that you're booking with me, you'll also get a month with me of asynchronous assistance. You ask your questions throughout in case we didn't, and that's a great way to say, in case we didn't cover everything in our call, you have a month to ask additional questions. And you could, or you could say, and also if you end up wanting more time, book another month with me. You could say extend my availability for you by another month. Ooh, that sounds really appealing.
And actually, I could even double up on that and say I could still offer directly or through the funnel. And if you want me to dedicate a half day or a day or 2 days or something like that, I'm happy to do that, and there's a rate for that as well.
Yeah, and
Again, it's
just,
the intensive bit, because I've got, as I say, I've got clients. I've got a client who's been really, who bought a call right at the start of the year and was traveling 25th of March or something. She booked a call yesterday, and I was like, I had to chase her several times. I'm saying, look, availability is getting tight. You're going in like 3 weeks. You need to book your call. So people like that, where it's really intensive and you want to get them in, are going to kind of like be really focused, and they'll pay and do that stuff. Whereas others, I've got ones that I'm working on, as I say, they're not traveling until Q1 next year. So if I give them a range of options where it's basically intensive or it's not time sensitive, I could see that being picked up across the board, actually.
And now that for me, I think I've sold myself into this idea. Now the thing for me is going to be, do I go with something like Clarity Flow, where I can have a very clean co asynchronous coaching thing, and every, when they become a client, that they get their thing. Or I think I answered that for myself. I was going to say, or do I just serve them in the community and give them a unique space where they can, but no, I think I've sold it. I think this, the way that I can attach files, the way that I can attach specific videos and give them materials, I think I'm probably going to sign up for Clarity Flow and just give it a shot.
Interesting, because I when you nudged on that earlier with possibly for me, it's something I don't think my even though I mean because you're looking at it from your perspective, which I don't think is representative of my audience generally, just mindset wise because of your project base, and technology edge and all the rest of it. Because I have been when it's calls, I send them basically travel notes after each call, which is a kind of summary of the conversation, but with a whole bunch of, I said I'd send you a bunch of links to stuff you can book, and here it is kind of thing. So I do that, and they get them as just, sometimes there's a Google map, but typically it's like a it's just a PDF document. And there's a like a cover email that just kind of maybe summarizes a couple of things and has the, the upsell. But I have thought, if I was on the receiving end, would I want, if I'm booking three calls, would I want calls two and three to being, would I want call three to include notes from call one and call two? I've never done that. No one's ever asked for it. But I think because of the way my clients typically work is basically they've got way too much on their plates and they've got no idea how to filter it all. So it's always a work in progress until like a week for a lot of them, like a week before they're going to fly.
That's,
And it's like, so it doesn't need to be in one place for them.
yeah.
I've had a couple of people say, just stick it all in a document, in an email, and I'll just have the email thread.
I my customers are very similar though. Like for the most part, that it
Right.
my average customer, you're not my average, you're more techie than most. My
Right.
average customer is so overwhelmed that they say, I don't even know where to begin. And I could say, well, all I need from you are these five things. And they can't even keep track of the five things.
You're
So if
right.
I had a system where all I'd have to say is just go to coaching.convology.com, there's your login. You just go right in. It has your own coaching portal. I'll call it my coaching portal. I don't whatever. They log into it and I said, you'll have your to-do list, you'll have your recordings, my videos, and it's all organized there for you. You won't have to go hunt for emails because another problem that I find, I love email, but I find that a lot of other people are bad at email. Like for me, it's like if we're having a conversation, let's keep it in one thread.
I'm like that.
But so many of my clients start a new email every time they email me. And so I've got like 30 email, like right now I've got 30 emails from one client. And I'm having to hunt down like, okay, you shared your login with me over here. Okay, over in this email we talked about what we were going to do. You've lost that email. And if they just had a single thread where they were forced
No,
to
I
just
can
keep.
instantly see the benefit to you, particularly with all that
Yeah.
kind of password stuff and access.
Everything. So I'm starting, I've talked myself into it completely now, I think at this point. Like I'm to the point where almost if I take on any coaching client, I might just spin them up a conversation. I'm even starting to think that like I'm gonna offer this as an upsell. Book an hour with me, but for an extra $199, you get me for the month, and you'll get a login to my coaching portal. So that starts to sound really, really attractive, and that will up my revenue with that could double my revenue, but only increase my workload by 20%. This is fascinating stuff. Like this is the kind of stuff that I think really, for me, moves the needle because.
It's those little it's but the, as you said earlier, it's about setting aside the thinking time and then just kind of doing what we're doing now is chatting this stuff backwards and forwards. We've both got very different perspectives, but we both understand each other's marketplaces, so that's always a bonus. But it's only when you talk it through that you start to, and like when I hear you say stuff, I'm thinking, yeah, that I can see how that would work in my space. And so I can see how I could introduce extra services here. So, but it's only when you sort of set aside the time to chat this stuff through that you can like you say, you can sell yourself on the concept. It's like, yeah, hang on. All the things that would be really beneficial, this platform provides. What's the price again? You know, it's like, is the price point good? Then it's,
Yeah. I mean,
you
even
know.
my clients, like if I ever did a web development project in the future, we don't communicate by email. We communicate through this portal. And if you have any questions or you want to give me assets or you want to do anything, we put it in the portal. And that way it's just a running conversation and it's for both our benefit. I'm really like, I'm for projects. What a brilliant way to not have to
But remind me, Doug, because I only looked at it when it was a Gary suggested it, I think. I had a look at it at that when he suggested it back then. But would this become, and I'm going to use the word deliberately, but would this become another kind of vertical silo of content that sits in parallel to your other channels, communications channels, or is it linked in any way to my dashboard or that kind of stuff? Because for me, I wouldn't want to have another tech stack to manage. I know it's not managing it, but you know what I
Yeah,
mean.
it's I think I see this as standalone. I don't think I see this as something I would want to like, because I still strongly believe that like it's a different type of engagement, like you just said, and you convinced me they don't the people don't think the same way. The community people who want to take my courses, log into their dashboard and go to their community,
For you,
that's
it's stronger
separate.
actually to have it separate, I think.
It is, because this almost makes it feel special. For you, if you were to do something like this, we can take a look at the integrations. This tool seems very flexible. It can appear in their thing. They talk about using it for conversations, which is like, almost like email, using it for coaching programs where you can, have a whole program on, something, or you can create even create courses in it. I don't think I wouldn't use it for this. But that's optional. Then there's like
But
these.
if you did a if you did a I mean one thing that would work for me is I'm getting a lot of first timers at the moment because Japan's reopened and all that kind of stuff. So there's a big glut of people going for the first time. And the calls I'm doing are really bread and butter. And that's good because they're not particularly intensive for me. But in somewhere like this, although it's called, it's called a course, or maybe it's course library there. But if it's just in for a series of videos, and those three videos are, here's your budget in 101, here's your accommodation 101, and here's your destinations
Well, look
101.
at this.
But they think it's really personalized, but
It can
it's just
be.
the same video you're loading each
Yeah.
time.
Look right here. Pull from your library to build personalized courses for students. And then right here, reusable templates tailor each student's course content to their specific needs. So, like you just said, you could have your library and then you bring on a new student and be like, here's the five videos that I have for you. And it's all personalized and they can take the course. And this feels so you would just remove every reference to the word course. And you would just call it resource or something. And you can onboard people like step one, do this, step two, do this. Like that to me seems very, very useful. And there's like,
I think I could, like you just said, Doug, about this is a different value proposition. That's why standalone works better. I could see me being attracted to this if once I had my membership set up, I might use this to do really high-end stuff,
yeah, and that's what I'm seeing it. To me, I'm seeing this is
like a
the
big ticket thing for me. I don't have a real big ticket because
yeah.
I've stopped my big ticket because it was too labor intensive. But
I see this
something
as
like
that.
this could take its place, still be a much higher price than it was, a year ago when I last did them. But this would give that real high-end concierge feel to it, the user experience, I think. For me, it's got to, it would have to be white labeled. It would have to be very kind of very, very simple for the user. My people aren't techie at all. So, I mean, they can do Excel and they can do Google Maps and stuff like that. But, all the stuff that this is capable of would overwhelm them. I'd want I'd want to have total control over the interface. I don't know how that, I guess you do. I didn't.
I doubt you would have much control over the interface other than colors and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure just the nature of the way this works, it's very simple. Like just look at this. I'm going to show you the picture of the interface again. Look how simple that is. I'm sure
Right,
you could
yeah.
customize the colors, and I'm sure you could customize what these things say. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But like if you're this is very there's not a lot here to misinterpret as
Yeah,
off-brand.
true. No, I think this is something I should. I couldn't see it when Gary was suggesting it because I was it, my headspace was completely in the membership world. But I know he was coming at it from a slightly different perspective, like kind of the thing we're chatting through now, but perhaps not as well
More,
developed.
he was focused more on the community side, I think, a little bit more. But this is very interesting. Like, you can, the price point is very reasonable. There's the $39 a month plan, and then there's the $79 a month plan. So the difference is the 79 per month gets the ability to charge people through the platform, which is something that I think I don't know if I even need, but I'd consider it because it just keeps it feeling very separate for me, and that makes it feel better. And then really there everything gets included. Like we neither of us need internal messages because we don't have a team. Scheduling your messages is a nice to have, not a must have. Videos being 720p versus 1080p, yeah, that's a thing, but at the same time you're just recording a quick little response to somebody. It doesn't need to be
It's not a deal breaker.
beautiful. I don't care about replacing my camera background at all. Limiting how long videos can be from your clients, I don't really care. I mean, maybe. And how limiting the types of messages they can send, audio, text, video. I mean, that seems kind of irrelevant. Custom contact attributes, it's not really a CRM, so I don't really care about their profile. I know who they are, and I don't need team members. Here's where it starts to get interesting. The commerce stuff is only in the standard or higher. Programs, you can have three programs. What do they call a program? A program is a course. Ah, see, that's where they get you. A course, an activity, a quiz, an interview. So, like, that seems
Yeah,
nebulous.
that's immediately quite limiting, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd want to look into that. You get a program dashboard, program enrollments. Members can access a space and the conversations in it and interact with other members. This is where Gary was going, having multiple people in a thing. I wouldn't want that. I would want
No,
just.
that's a complete anathema to me. That's the way I would not want to use this platform.
Exactly. I would not want it anywhere near that. Like cohorts and group coaching, maybe, but that's, you know, on the standard. But really, it's very reasonable. I take one client in, it totally pays for the program
Covered the
or
cost.
times two.
So what was it?
Conversations.
79 a month if you sign up annually, was it?
So it is. Yeah, it's 79 per month annual, or 39 a month annual, which this is I'm going to sign up for their free trial again and to see what's changed in the last year. Because when I last tried them, I think they used to be called something else. They used to be called Zip Message. And then they rebranded Clarity Flow. So I'm going to start this. I'll let you know maybe by next week what I think about it.
Interesting.
Oh, this is interesting. The library. Oh, so the library, you could have 50 templates.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's what you and I want. We don't care about the courses. We care about the library, the templates here. Build your coaching library of reusable content templates like videos, pre-written messages, or multi-message
Quite a
threads.
lot.
Yeah, I don't.
That's pretty good, actually. For
50 versus.
something
Oh, yeah. What are workflows? Build powerful automations. Okay, interesting. All right, well, we can all look into that. Before our call ends, I know you did ask one question about
Oh, yeah,
AWS. You had
because
an error message.
I forgot. I presume these are going out to everybody.
I didn't see that message in my account, and I've yet to see a client have that error. Did you want to share your screen so I can take a look at
Let me look. Where are we?
see.
You see it yet?
Yeah, I see it. Let me read this real quick. Interesting. Beginning March, we make some changes supporting endpoint domains that are used by the AWS access portal. The IAM you are receiving. Because you have an IAM identity, if you use domain or URL allow listing in gateways or firewalls for your access, I think you're going to be okay.
No, I thought it didn't apply.
Yeah, I don't think this applies. Because this is talking about, like, I think this is more for people that build connections to AWS, like they build portals and stuff that connect to AWS.
Right.
You and I are just using SES, so I think you're
Yeah.
fine. I think you're totally fine.
I'll forward you the message anyway, Doug, just so you can read it at your leisure. But I am surprised actually that none of your clients have received it.
No, I spot checked 5 accounts, including my own, prior to our office
Right.
hours. And I spot checked them thinking maybe there's something going on. And
Yeah.
no one else had that issue at all. So I don't even think it's an issue. I just think it's an FYI if you connect to
Yeah.
AWS with
But I wonder
a.
if it's something I've done on the back end, because
Maybe you have an IAM user versus a root
yeah.
user. And that's why I have to think it's not related to anything important, because the way you can access AWS, when you go to log in, have you ever noticed there's two options, root and IAM? The IAM is what you would use for accessing AWS externally through other applications, in which case a firewall would be relevant. I just log in with my root user every time.
Yeah, I always use the root user, but let me just have a quick go to look at my account. Hang on a second. But I'm wondering if I inadvertently set up an IAM account. When I very first set up the account, when I got fluent, that's when I did it. Just wondering if there was a.
I don't think you have anything to worry about unless you're using some custom application that somebody built for you. I do have a concern because I in my agency, we did have custom software built for us that uses
Right.
AWS. So I'm sure that the company that built that software for me is on top of it. But I don't think at our level, you and I have anything that's relevant to that.
Okay, fingers crossed. Yeah.
Yeah.
As I say, I'll forward you the message just
Yeah,
out of
definitely.
curiosity factor as much as anything else, and you can have a look at it at your leisure and just sort of digest it a bit more. But I was just curious as to why, if there was something I'd inadvertently done on the back end that I hadn't kind of intended to, which does happen from time to time, because I'm not as techie as you. And I just thought, oh, maybe there's something I need to switch off on the back end just in case.
I think you're good. I even Googled it and I could literally
Right.
find nothing. Like I cut and paste the part that
Yeah.
didn't look unique to your info, and it was not a single Google search result. Google returned, we got nothing.
Fingers crossed then.
Or you've come up with a unique problem unique to just Rob,
Well, I'm very good at that kind
which is standard
of
operating procedure for you,
stuff.
so.
Yeah, absolutely.
All
Cool.
right,
Okay, that was
well,
an interesting conversation anyway.
yeah, very good. I
Yeah.
took a lot away from it. I wanted to make note for you and then anyone else listening, that in the community, you'll notice under events that I've starting next week, we're alternating 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock my time because we wanted to be more inclusive for some of the other people in the community. So every other week, I had like 4 or 5 people express interest in just a 2 hour later start. So I have adjusted the timing to be 10 and 12, 10 and 12 every other week for office hours. So since you seem to attend almost all of them, I wanted you to be aware of that. And then anyone else listening to this, just to be aware. I know like Gary and Michelle and a few others have been interested in a later start. So we will be doing 10 and 12, starting, well, not next week. I'm wrong about that. Sorry. Next week is the 8th. That's still 10 o'clock. Starting the 15th, that's our first 12 o'clock. Translate that 2 hours later
It may
for
mean
your
I may
time.
miss one or two, but it won't be a big deal. It's good that it opens it up to people in the other time zones, I think.
Yeah, and then our normal mastermind events, the next one is next week, so next Thursday.
Oh, crikey, that's come around quick. Doug, I was going to ask you actually, I think you still to upload the recording from the third call, is that right?
Yep, I need to get that one up. I
Because I
spaced
was just
it.
going to revisit that the other day, but
I have it uploaded. I just have to put it into the community. And
okay,
then
cool.
I'm going to post something in the community. I'm curious on people's thoughts. I'm considering bringing over all my courses and putting them in the community, but I wanted to get people's thoughts on what do most people want? Do most people want them to stay in my Thrive Apprentice in my website, or do most people just
Interesting.
want everything to come over to the community?
Yeah, be
So
very interested to see what the
I want to see what
response is.
everyone thinks.
Yeah.
So be looking out for that. Otherwise, have a good weekend. Try not to stay too busy.
Cheers. Have a good one, Doug.
All
See you
right, take
soon.
care.